And this time I didn't catch the professor off guard like on another review.
Usually you do. It's great.
I thought about it, but I didn't because I care about you.
Oh, it's kind of you. It's very kind.
On SmackDown.
John, get me on Dynamite and screw me every time. Yeah, that's great.
I mean, he's in charge of this show. I'm in charge of this one. There's a total difference here. But hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there, and welcome to another rendition of the Friday Night Faction Review, where, you know, a bunch of us get together to review WWE SmackDown for the week. I am joined by my lovely co-host this week. First and foremost, I have the professor, a.k.a. John, who is here and on the Dynamites as well. So it's been 2 weeks. I've missed doing this.
It's been a while, yeah.
I know, because we just literally came off of WrestleMania. It was nuts. It was nuts. And then, yeah. Of course, you know, too much time has passed by. I don't know if it is the official debut or you've been here before. Ooh. And I just forgot about it. But our newest acquisition to BC WrestlePod, making his, I guess, kind of debut here on the Friday Night Faction Review, Macho Rodriguez, or Macho for short.
Who the hell told you this was open mic night? I mean, listen.
Just dropping that out of nowhere. Like, oh, that's beautiful.
I love it. Love the callback.
That was his wife's thing.
Yes.
Wife's phrase, right?
That's my favorite AEW promo ever. She even calls her. Listen, I grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey. Like, listen, let me tell you, women talk like Brandy talked in that. But, like, that was very, that felt very, like, real to me. I was like, yeah. Yeah, I like that. No, it was cool. No, we could just do it like Roman Reigns. Every single week that I show up, you could just be like, hey, look, the return of Macho. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
this is the return. Yeah. Return back. We had a few in the fall and that kind of landed on. Mm-hmm. And then there were a few where you and Mikey killed it and went on for like an hour and a half. And I was listening to it like, oh, this is great. I want to be there. So I'm glad we're finally back with you, man.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited. This is good. I like it. Sundays, I don't really do much here. Like, you know, so I'm good.
Nice.
Let's do it. Let's enjoy it.
It's fantastic.
Let's make some money. Let's make some money. Yeah.
make this dinero. All right. Shoot. So before we get ahead of ourselves, let me do the housekeeping real quick because we got to keep a tight ship this week. But you can find us all over the YouTubes at BC WrestlePod. Follow us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. We have audio podcast version of everything on your favorite podcasting network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music somehow. We're literally everywhere. And then, of course, some of us, the East Coast Collective and me, are going to be at the New Jersey Wrestling Show Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. BC WrestlePod has a table there. It's going to be a fantastic time. Come say hi, buy some merch. Just overall, this is going to be a fantastic time. It's going to be great. But now housekeeping's out of the way. Let's get into why we're really here to talk about how much I actually really enjoyed this week's SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
it's kind
crazy.
Of a running gag that SmackDown was a flip of the coin for about 6 months there, right? Where when we give our ratings, it was like 8-3, 8-2, 8-5. Like, what is happening? Yeah. This was really solid. There was some fun stuff that we talked. There's a bunch of promos in here. And for me, there was one that was great. And the rest were like, okay, fine. But this was a fun SmackDown. I enjoyed this one.
I had fun with this SmackDown, and I think that's going to be the running term that I'm going to be using for this thing, is that SmackDown was a lot of fun, and we talked a little bit about it off air, but we kick off with your new champion after WrestleMania, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, because we did talk about Brandy's promo, who told you it was open mic night.
So good.
Loved it.
It's great.
I mean there's nothing I could say. It's pretty much the same promo that Cody gave on Raw, just minus a certain Dwayne the Rock Johnson coming out.
Fair.
I gotta be honest, we didn't cover Raw, but I was like, that promo was going great, and then it kind of got weird in the middle because someone forgot their cue. But this one was better because it was just Cody talking to the fans, talking about recapping WrestleMania. And, you know, we're not wasting any time because on SmackDown, we're going to figure out who's going to be facing Cody at Backlash for that title.
Yeah.
Immediately. I was like, damn, I'm here for it. Let's not waste time. Let's go.
When you heard the names, did you immediately do what I did? And I was like, oh, it's AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I kind of did. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Because I
and then AJ cuts Roman. That.
Remember when Roman sure. won the title yeah. and AJ was his first big challenger? I was like, oh, they're doing the same thing. They're going to build him the same way.
Mm-hmm. And then later on, this kind of gives it away a little bit. That promo AJ cut was sort of like, oh, you're coming on this revenge tour thing. And not that it was overcooked a little, but it kind of gave away the ghost a little. Like, I think this is all you, but I will see.
Yeah. The rumors of AJ Styles being washed are ridiculous. This man can still go. He's yeah. still, I mean,
he's great.
He's was good. So, I mean, watching him, watching him perform, listen, I don't want to jump to the end of the match because we're going to talk about it in the main event, but we're going to talk about the transition into the finish. And I felt like I was watching a master in the ring just with those two. I was sure. like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Just wow.
And we've talked about that the last few weeks, how great AJ looks. Who cares how he got there? But dude's yeah. jacked, still healthy. Like, yeah. and is I don't want to say turn back the clock because that makes it seem like the clock had turned forward too far. Like, he's mm-hmm. still doing great work.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, we also see Cody reveling in his success, but just like there are winners, there are losers, which we see a little bit of that as the Bloodline or what remains of it right now. They are walking backstage. So Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa, and Paul Heyman. It's fantastic. Love it. Right. Got to keep the show going. Got to keep it going. Listen. But they go to where their normal, where their room is normally, and it has Cody Rhodes' name on it. Jimmy had the best facial expression this whole entire time, and it was added even better when Kevin Owens randomly walks into frame and says, oh, you guys can't come in here. You guys are losers. There's a broom closet down the hall you can use, and goes into Cody's room. I laughed so hard.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Jimmy's face sold
it
for
me. We see this later in the night, too, and we've talked about this off and on for, it feels like, months. Give the Bloodline somewhere to go. Give them somewhere to go, something new to fight for, and we got it.
Yeah.
And we got it in a sort of, the fans who knew exactly who that was, without giving it away, the moment it happened, just, I didn't get chills, but I definitely jumped, like, oh, no way, wait, what?
Yeah.
We have something to, we can get reinvested in it now. We're not in that plateau place anymore. I'm here for the reign of Solo, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes, we will.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So we had these two things and we get in our first match. So this is the first triple threat match for number one contenders to Cody's title at Backlash. It is Mr. L.A. Knight, versus Bobbles Lashley, Bobby Lashley, versus Santos Escobar. And look, I really enjoyed this match. It was chaos towards the end of it, which makes me happy because it seems that we are giving Bobby and the Prophets somebody to feud with now that we are kind of quote unquote done with the Final Testament feud, which let's be honest, that the build up to that match at WrestleMania was not great, but I still enjoyed everyone involved in it.
Yeah.
This match felt to me like, and I don't mean this in a negative, when like the friends of yours who like and love wrestling get in the backyard and cause trouble, mm-hmm. not the folks that do the backyard crazy stuff. This was like, hey, let's just go do cool shit for 15 minutes. Okay. And then it works.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, let's go to the outside. Let's call this spot, call that spot, call this thing, call that thing.
Yep.
Every time LA Knight jumps to the top rope, my heart skips just a beat because I've seen him miss it. So now in my head, I'm like, please don't.
Yeah.
I feel a little bad for Bobby because I feel like I want more, but that's just me being a greedy fan, if that's any sense.
Yeah.
I thought Santos looked great in here too. It's I'm trying not to get too heady about the booking of Bobby Lashley because a part of me wants to see so much, but I'm happy for LA Knight and Santos is still the heel and it's all going to work. So.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever been a part of a show? I mean, you're a director outside of this, right? You do like a stage work and stuff. Have you ever been in the...
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
What did you say?
No. I do fight choreography stuff and acting and all kinds of random
stuff. Yeah, there you go. So have you ever been like planning a scene while a scene's going on at the moment? And you're like, oh yeah, let them go do their shit and I'll explain this to you. But what they're doing over here is so good, you have not gotten any work done. That's exactly what I felt like. I was a part of a show with JPW where Amazing Red and Insane Dragon, right, were competing. And I remember like Fat Frank was like talking to me and my brother, and he was like, oh yeah, this is what you guys are going to do. This is going to be the finish. And the three of us were staring at the ring and we heard nothing. And that's what this felt like. I was like, wow. You're
exactly
this,
right. Yeah, exactly right.
I was just like, wow, this is a really great match by three pros, guys that have been in the business for a very long time, all guys that are like over their 40s. And I thought to myself, I was like, man, this sucks because I can see any of these three competing for a world title. Like the other three-man match, I was like, oh, it's only one. It's got to be one. As much as I love KO, but this is the match where I felt like any of the three could have won, and I'd be happy with it. I'd be happy with Cody working any of these guys.
I think any one of them, the audience would have popped too. Yep. Like it could have been any of those three, and they would have gone, yeah, okay, let's go. Like it doesn't matter.
I mean, you think about it. LA Knight gets the immediate pop. The Pride needs the win, right? Like Bobby coming out of WrestleMania, like the Pride, ooh, Bobby's back in the title picture. And then Santos, like, can you imagine what this would do for, like, Legado? Like, wow.
That avalanche, whatever that was, tower thing, Bobby Lashley just, I'm just going to carry all of you. Okay. Like, what is, that man is immortal, at least in my eyes. Awesome stuff. It was a lot of fun.
This was a fantastic match. Of course, LA Knight picked up the victory here because of all the shenanigans. I also want to shout out Beefhead, who comes in with the heaviest boot to the face ever. She's like, bam. I was like, ooh. I was like, somebody owes her money. Like, it was so beautiful. This was a fantastic match, and this made me smile. So from here, we go backstage. We are with LWO. We still don't know who attacked Dragon Lee in this whole thing. Spoiler alert. We all know it's Carlito, and it's going to be glorious when we get the eventual turn.
Yep.
But this was mostly focused on Ray talking about how LWO is family, and Ray talks about how he has one more championship run in him. I was just like, oh, we're setting up the retirement tour. Here we go.
Exactly. Probably.
Maybe. But not really. And we know that.
We'll talk about the match, and we've talked about Ray the last few weeks, too, and Ray still looks better than folks half his age. So that's not me knocking Ray at all. Mm-hmm. It's just now that half step. It's just now that little bit of, oh, please don't get hurt place. And I think he probably feels it. And he's like, hey, before it gets too far south, but I don't want to see Ray go. Maybe I'm biased, but we'll see. It's like, I understand that, but that's an athlete thing. So,
yeah. I mean, when I watched Ray Mysterio, I was shocked. I was talking with my bro, and he was telling me that he thought that Ray was going to go over at Mania. I didn't expect it. And he's like, I think he's going to go over. Mm. He's going to have two wins, and then next year at Mania, he's going to retire after losing to Dom. And I was like, okay, they're going to do a trilogy. Triple H loves trilogies. I get it. But when I'm watching it, I'm just like, he's not just competing in there with guys his age. He's competing in there with guys that are currently better than he is. And it almost reminds me of when he was working WCW and he was working guys like Psychosis or La Parca, and it was like, well, Ray's clearly better. And now it's like, oh, well,
sure,
Dragon Lee is like so much better, you know, and Montez Ford and guys like that. And it's like, oof, it's starting to show.
I think Ray would serve any storyline the rest of his career, however Ray wants to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know manager wise if Ray really wants to do something like that, but it's sort of as a reoccurring character showing up every now and then, some sort of LWO, holding the banner type of thing. I wonder how much Ray's feeling that out and trying to why Ray really wanted LWO. Did we get pushed the last year or so? So now, yeah. Hey, if and when that retirement happens, this thing keeps going. I'm really interested to see him and that Dom collusion course because it's coming. Yes. I don't know how they weave it together. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's coming, and I want to know. But we gotta wait.
I do too. My only requirement for that Dom needs to win that. There is no way Ray retires going on top. That's not how we're supposed to do this.
No. I definitely if that happens, feel like I might Dom actually goes, Dom. Dom to me is. Because he's not talked about enough. I feel like he's the most underrated professional wrestler in the business today. Like, the progress that he has made in ring is otherworldly. And I think people don't look at it because they expected him to be Ray. They expected him to be, as I said earlier, Psychosis. And he's more so Edge. You know, he's more so that style of a performer. Mm. So sure. I think he's just carving out he's not Lucha. He's not a Lucha wrestler. Just because your dad was a Lucha King doesn't mean you need to be that.
Yeah. I think he's really found his style. Like, he started to nail it down the last 6 months or so. Like, this is what I'm good at. This is what I sell. Not that he wasn't, because absolutely, you know, he had Vince's blessing a long time ago and everyone was pushing him that way. But he's starting to breathe into it a little bit more. He's starting to be more himself, if that makes any sense. And he particularly was when he does everything with Rhea. It's set up now. Mm-hmm. We just get to wait, which I don't want to wait.
No, of course not. Ooh. But, you know, since we're talking about setup,
little Dawson
Solo set Jimmy up this. Ooh, this is intense. Solo set Jimmy up in this next thing because this was a thing of beauty. So Bloodline comes out there, Solo, Jimmy, Paul Heyman. So Paul Heyman gets on the mic, talks about winners and losers and consequences for losing. But on top of that, you know, he recaps basically everything that we saw at WrestleMania Night 2. And before he can go any further, Solo Sikoa interrupts him. And I'm like, color me intrigued. Let's see where this goes. Solo gets on the mic and says, basically, you said, Paul, there are consequences for losing, right? And consequences bring change. And then we get the slow turn to Jimmy, who's like being the hype man until he realizes that Solo is talking about him. And then Jimmy gets upset. Then Solo comes in with the Judas that he is and, you know, hugs his brother and says, you're my brother. I love you. And then Hoodie person gets to attacks Jimmy from behind. Hoodie comes off, and I knew this was going to happen, but I still popped for it like a little kid. But Tama Tonga is officially in the WWE, and I was screaming at my television because I am excited. And, you know, Andrew, one of our other co-hosts, who's very familiar with some of the independent scene, it's only a matter of time before we get maybe Zilla and Jacob Fatu to make their debut at some point. But this was a thing of beauty. Jimmy gets jumped by Solo and by Tama. A chair is involved. You know, acknowledge Solo as the tribal chief. Paul Heyman tries to call Roman Reigns, but then the phone gets snatched by Solo and he curb stomps that thing. And that is they walk up, and that is how we end this segment. This was so good, and I'm so happy to see Tama Tonga in WWE.
This was a masterclass in telling us why losing doesn't matter. In certain companies, losing sometimes can lead to something bigger. What has the internet been saying for the past like 3 months? Solo, since he beat John Cena, he's 0-36. Well, guess what? One promo, one segment. Now he's the tribal chief. Immediately, the internet is ablaze. Wrestling fans are nuts. They're like, oh my God, they're fantasy booking it right now. It's going to be the Bloodline versus the Bloodline in a civil war. Roman and the Usos versus the Fatus and Tama Tonga. It's like, all right, you captivated everything. I thought it was so brilliant the way they did it. We know Solo could talk from his NXT days. We know Tama Tonga could talk because we've seen some promos of him in Japan. And
we've been calling for Solo to talk for months. Like, let him say something.
Oh, yeah.
We know he can.
This is going to captivate the audience. And he's got that charisma to do so. But that's not what he was called to do. He was just doing his job. Right. They're like, go out there, be the street fighter. This is going to change everything. My biggest question, because I feel like that's what wrestling does, is leave you asking questions. My biggest question is, why were people talking more about this than the current world champion?
In my opinion, we had a good 6 month lull of the bloodline where we had this sort of do something, mm-hmm. right? And it kind of got fixed. This was right after all the Sammy and KO stuff. There was this good 6 months of where are we going? What are we doing? How are we going to do this?
Yep.
Part of that was misfiring. You could argue on how some of the story booking was done and all these other things going to Cody, whatever. But there was a little bit of, I was calling for Rikishi for months. Mm. Like, get me a tribal council. You want to say tribal council? Call all the family. Get grandma, get everybody down yes. there, put them in the chairs, and let's do this for real. And now it kind of feels like, oh, if we're going to play cousins, mm-hmm. I think it might have been The Rock returning was like, hey, yes. if I'm back, you want to play family tree? I'll put the family tree up there. Let's call everybody.
Yep.
Who wants to come down? Who wants a piece of this thing? And now it's interesting. Yes. You have a mafia. If you're a mafia movie person, you're there. You have the Godfather arc. You got the Goodfellas lines. You got... Sorry, you said this. I had white men can't jump on my head. Sometimes when you win, you actually lose. Yeah. Like right underneath, right? Like, so now it's complicated. Now it's complex. Now I'm invested. Let's go.
Yeah.
We're going to fight the wise man. Let's go. Like, shake it up.
Love it.
It's exciting.
Yeah. This was a great segment. And let's talk about for the fact that everybody coming home from Japan, everybody coming from the Indies needs to go to NXT. Well, that's sure as shit not true, because Tama Tonga debuted right away on SmackDown.
Fans
knew exactly who he was. When he pulled that hood off, that pop was loud. So,
I loved
it. Let's dispel that narrative.
Yeah. I saw half his face in the sweatshirt. I was like, that's Tama Tonga. And then all of a sudden, Corey's like, oh my God. He's like, okay, there he is.
Yep.
Dude looks jacked in the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
It was like,
what is
it
with the bloodline and black hoodies? What the fuck?
I agree. Like, give him a little more.
Yeah.
But everyone likes that silent assassin coming out of the dark
right. thing. But it makes a lot of sense, too, because black intent, like, mm-hmm. is good at hiding certain physical features. Fashion nerd here. Hi.
I mean, maybe. Black, if you jack like that, though. Mm.
Well, it depends too, because he may have wore his actual true to fit size or one size a little bit smaller to flex the musculos, but
That's fair.
Black is usually good because it's good at hiding physical features, including faces when you have the hoods up. But this was fantastic, and it was even made better because I'll couple this now. When we're backstage, Paul Heyman walks out of the medical like office. We're checking on Jimmy, and before he even gets a chance to say anything, Tama Tonga gets in his face and says, "By orders of the tribal chief." Solo comes in, gives him this like crooked smile, thumbs up, and then puts it down, stares at Paul Heyman, and walks right off. And I have never seen that man more terrified in my life. This was levels of Paul Bearer levels of, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So good. So exciting. And the Detroit fans, they had to cut away a few times because Detroit was not happy. And they fed the... Oh, it was great.
Detroit be wild out here sometimes.
Lots of fingers and fancy words. They were doing all the things. It was great.
It was fantastic. Masterclass. This was probably my favorite promo of the whole entire night.
Sure.
Because now we have a new chapter in the bloodline. We went from Avengers Endgame to now Civil War.
We're waiting for
I can't wait.
We're waiting for the return.
It's a matter of time.
We'll be back. All right. He's on his way back. He's just taking some time with his family. That's what it is.
Well, now, what's great is now he has something more to fight for.
Yes.
Like when now he comes back, they can use Roman in different ways. Mm-hmm. I think he was getting stuck which a lot of the fans were responding to after
this babyface run that he's about to go on is gonna be
it's gonna be so amazing.
The thing. It's gonna be great.
It is so good. So we leave this, we get to our squash match of the evening, Bron Breakker versus Cameron Grimes. We officially now can say that Braun is full time with SmackDown because after this past week on NXT, with him and Baron losing the tag titles to Axiom and Nathan Frazier, I'm hoping Baron in the draft comes back up to SmackDown. So, because I want Baron and Braun to continue to be a tag team because they are fantastic together.
Fun matches, yeah.
But this was their squash match. Poor Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes getting hosed up here, man.
Damn, he was Vince's boy too. Vince was all about Cameron Grimes, and now it's like, you know what? Yeah, we don't. Bron Breakker's the future. You can tell that that's what they're gearing him up for. But these matches to me are so strange because why is he not a part of Speed?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, Bron Breakker just smashes dudes. Like, just have him go out there and just run through people on Speed, you know? And then when you want to do the William Regal Goldberg thing, where fans are starting to question whether Bron can go, then have him go out there and have a 25-minute banger, and people will be like, oh, no, we have no reason to hate this guy. He's really good. Yeah.
So
yes, he is.
Yes, he really is. But let me tell you, for those folks who don't watch NXT, and I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit, because as someone who can't, I know how good Bron Breakker is because he's had good matches where it's gone more than what we saw on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I always say it, even though it was kind of messy at the beginning, Melo versus Bron at last year's Stand and Deliver was fantastic. Seth versus Bron at Gold Rush was fun as well over the summer.
Yes.
Like, Bron has proved himself time and time again to go up against not only his fellow NXT peers, but also main event players as well.
His match like, with Dolph, that match that nobody talks about with him and Dragunov. What is going on? Like, isn't
I don't even know that match happened.
It was amazing.
That's the one that Mikey sent to me when we were doing picks for something else, right? Is that the one? Maybe I'm crazy, Mikey. It's like, here, watch this. I was like, oh, this is incredible.
Dragunov
is like
a non-toxic version of the Dynamite Kid. Like, when I watch I'm like, this dude is everything that Bret Hart wanted to be and more. When I watch him, and you could hear it. I don't know if you heard Kenny Omega's Twitch thing when he talks about it. Dragunov is the guy he says can be successful in any company.
I was hoping that he would get a call up or something more to do when they head to Berlin. Or when they head to, were they, Berlin? Is it, no, where were they going?
Germany, yeah.
Germany. It is Berlin, yeah. I was hoping that he would get something big to show out, but
maybe because now with the stipulation they got the Cody Rhodes stipulation with Trick Williams. If he loses this world title match, he has to leave NXT. I don't think Trick is ready to move up, but Dragunov is.
No, and I think it depends. So like in 2 weeks we'll get that match, but first Trick has to go through Melo once again in a steel cage match this upcoming Tuesday, so I'm excited. I was like, it should have been at Stand and Deliver, but you know what? That's neither here nor there. We're here on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Bron Breakker picks up the win. Poor Cameron Grimes, but Bron Breakker, we'd love to see it. We talked about this a little bit already. AJ Styles cuts this very swole promo, how he's on a revenge tour.
That's a swole.
I'm here. You cannot tell me this man's lats and arms are bigger than the size of my forehead.
Nobody's happier than Wendy.
I mean, we definitely saw that difference during the home invasion segment.
We were talking about that. We were trying to figure out how tall she was based on how tall he was, because in that way that looked, she was like hella small.
Yeah.
Not to judge. I'm not judging at all, but it was sort of like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
AJ on a revenge tour. We love to see it. And then we get our second in-ring promo / celebration with Bayley coming out as your new women's champion, which is well-deserved. Love to see it. And she talks about, how, basically, her babyface promo is just like, I'm happy. Thank you for all believing in me. Mm-hmm. I won this. This means a lot to me. And who else interrupts her but Miss Tiffy Time herself, Tiffany Stratton. I noticed that they gave her her NXT song back instead of the one that she was using a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. which I prefer the NXT version. Also, shout out to the ring gear. I was like, oh, it's giving me, it's Heather's coded with the way that the patterns were.
Oh, that was Clueless.
Well, this Heather's Clueless, they kind of intertwine a little bit for us, you know.
I loved it.
So good. But, and Tiffany did say something. She's like, you know, it's kind of a shame that I wasn't used at WrestleMania. I'm like, you know what? You're not wrong.
Listen, Tiffany is the reason why Finn Balor did that interview so many years ago. When you become a heel, you have to take everything that fans love about you. You have to take it away. Lock it in a box. She's getting so many cheers. I felt like she was out popping Bayley. And I think it's because fans look at her in the ring and it's like Kurt, like I compare her to Kurt Angle because of the way he rose. He started out getting hated.
Sure.
But then all of a sudden fans were like, we can't hate this guy. Look how good he is in the ring.
Exactly.
So it's like, that's what I see with Tiffany. Fans are just like, nah, bro, she might be the most talented woman on the roster in terms of athleticism. So we need to cheer her. And she needs to take that stuff away. Because if not, she's not going to be a successful heel.
I think you're right to a point, sure. Like if we talk about the folks being in between too much, right? Yeah. Where there's sort of heels, but we love you, or faces, but we hate you. Like you can get stuck in that gray for too long.
Yeah.
And eventually booking's just going to screw you because they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. We talked about this with Rhea Ripley too, where it's like, oh, she's the heel. Oh. We're not going to treat her that way though. Becky's like, you know, because
the worst heel of all time. Never seen anything
like I think you're right. I think Tiffany will eventually lean more one way or another, but the fans adore her right now. So I think you're right. It's sort of like, I want her on my screen.
Yeah.
Put her on the show.
No. I've never seen Tiffany, reactions this fast. Like, it's fast.
Right? Sure.
They're chanting her name at the Elimination Chamber. She's the least. Like,
they were so upset when she got eliminated.
I was like, how is this happening? But yeah, we got a match with Liv Morgan, and you're getting the biggest pop. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wild for sure, but. Tiffany comes out. She's like, you know what? Because Bayley wants to offer a championship match. She's like, I'll take it. Thank you. But Bayley's like, no, I wasn't going to offer it to you. I was actually going to offer it to this woman. And Naomi comes out. And basically, this sets up that Naomi and Tiffany were going to have a match to see who would face Bayley next week for the women's championship. Mm-hmm. Well, we could just talk about that match now because WWE does this thing that I hate, but I had to get used to it because we literally get an A-Town Down promo of this little video package. Ooh. And then we see Nick Aldis, New Cash Republic, and the Street Profits watching said promo. I love like the non-verbal physical comedy because as soon as that video package got done playing, we just see the Street Profits with Angelo and Montez and then Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne all just turn to Nick Aldis in comedic fashion. Ooh. Like, what the hell is this? And Nick's like, yeah, we'll find them a challenger next week.
Yeah.
And then
love it.
I was like, that was fantastic. But then we go back to, and the match is like already started everything. And they're like in the middle of it. I was like,
I agree with you. I got to get used to this match in progress thing. They've been doing it more and more and more the last however long. And I don't want to sound like that old man. Back when I watched it, I hear the bell ring. I don't want to be that guy. I kind of see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It does a little bit of disservice to them. I see why. Maybe I just got to get behind it. I don't know.
But the match itself, I thought I had a fun time watching these two girls at it.
Yeah, no miscues. They were calling stuff on the fly. Camera did cut away, obviously, at one point to not embarrass Tiffany.
She almost had a wardrobe malfunction.
And fixed it quick. Like, damn, girl, good job. Naomi took some shots. That shot on the rope, like from that hip attack thing, was like, oh, that looked painful. Yeah. It was great. This was fun.
Yeah, what a way to push Naomi too, because she's been kind of losing recently. Yeah. I mean, she had the big win at WrestleMania, but it wasn't about her. It was about Jade. And she goes out there immediately after Mania and she gets a world title match. Right away, she gets called like, oh, yeah, I want you. You know, and we're going to get Bayley, Naomi, which is awesome because it kind of, it's kind of like, okay, well, Sasha's two best friends going at it. I love it. You know what I mean? And you now know that, that the next pay-per-view or PLE will be these two. Tiffany's going to get involved. We're going to have a triple threat match and Bayley's going to have two people to feud with. This is great for storytelling. I love it.
It's great for Bayley. And I want to say, and you might have been back when we were talking about this, Luis, where we were like, what is Damage Control doing? Where are we going? Mm-hmm. And this is right at that Shotzi angle they had for a while. This is right at, what are we doing with EO? How are we going to get this to happen? We're waiting for Dakota to come back. We know she's hurt, but it was like, we have nowhere to go. And now that they pulled the trigger on this stuff, now Bayley can do whatever she wants and Damage Control's still there as a heel faction. I think that's great.
Absolutely.
It was. I'm excited for the match next week. Oh boy. So love him or hate him, we get a on the phone promo from Logan Paul.
From his mansion on the island.
Yeah.
You know, those conversations aside, it did what it needed to. Logan Paul is still being a heel. He's still your United States champion. Mm-hmm. And he made the crowd boo for him. He's like, we're in a new era. We're in the Paul Levesque Logan Paul era. I was like, ew. Don't say that again.
Please never say that. Logan Paul Levesque? Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain wrestler who is prominent verbally on all wrestling platforms right now. And this is kind of what Logan's dealing with. If you think about it, Ronda's keeping him pretty popular right now. Like, she has a lot to say about him. And he's obviously a big heel right now. And getting a win over Randy Orton, of all people, that's pretty big. So, I mean, I think this is here to stay. I think this is a way to get the title onto LA Knight. You know, who knows? Maybe his payback to the company is that in his hometown in SummerSlam is him dropping the strap to LA Knight. We'll see.
Yeah. I
see that.
I've talked about Logan Paul too much in my life, so I don't want to overcomplicate his angle with all this stuff. I respect the hustle and the athleticism he has brought, absolutely.
Yeah.
And from the clips I've heard of his podcast, the stuff that's been sent to me, he does actually sound like he's an okay guy when he talks to them. He's made millions of dollars being a heel in real life on YouTube with his brother. That's kind of what got started him on Vine and everything else is, I'm going to be a heel. Yeah. I'm going to get people to hate me. So it's kind of in his bone and in his blood.
I mean, I was never a Logan fan. On Vine, I was more of a Mighty Duck fan. I thought Mighty Duck was hilarious.
Thank you for knowing Vine, though. That makes me happy. Yeah. I miss Vine. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not... I've warmed up to it a lot because initially it was, this is a cash grab. What the hell are you doing? But, you know, ever since that him and Ricochet meeting at the top, I was like, okay, I have you want to go? Go.
Yeah. I love it. I love the way they position him as well, because clearly he beats Kevin Owens by schmoz, right? And I mean, I don't look at Kevin Owens like they talk about the realism, right? So like, I don't look at Kevin Owens and think like, nah, Logan Paul could beat this guy. You know what I mean? So like, it if you just add a little bit like, oh, this might be real, you know, it makes sense for like KO to like deck him, knock him out, and then the ref to be like, what the hell is this? You know? Yeah, I loved it. So yeah, I think it's pretty good, pretty nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, now that we're done with the KO, Randy Orton, maybe for a little bit, we shall see. And ultimately, I do agree with you, Macho, that I believe that we are building, and to you, to a certain extent, Professor, I do think we get LA and Logan at SummerSlam in August.
In Ohio.
Gosh, that's a long time
ago. Might have to drive 5 hours to go see that.
It's gotta, they gotta do something to fix SummerSlam last year, because I remember Luis was very upset.
Yeah,
we were all
very upset. But I still remember Luis.
It was his cousin.
I blame Jimmy for that one.
Yeah, I blame. That's right. You know, it wasn't his fault. He did his job.
I blame booking in that whole thing.
There's a lot.
We don't want to revisit that, but
that was
we move.
The bar's been set low. They should easily walk over it. Yeah, we can put it there.
Yep.
It should. So we leave Logan Paul's segment and we lead into our second squash match of the evening, but a fun one nonetheless, just because Chelsea Green is always so down to do whatever. But this was Chelsea Green and Piper Niven coming over from Raw, Like, I was just like, so I was like, oh, they're just jumping ship. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. This is going to be fantastic. But they're here for one night only thing. They might get drafted to SmackDown. But anyways, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven take on the team of Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be quick. And then within a minute and a half, it was.
I kind of love that Jade's the Terminator and just shows up and ends it. Mm-hmm. I don't hate that right now. Eventually, I want to see her do more, but I know they're trying to get her the reps in, and they're really taking their time easing her in, which is, you know, safe and fine. And I know she could probably take it. But I for right now, I kind of love it. It's like, oh, Jade's here. You got 15 seconds. You're going to die. Like, and there's nothing that's going to change.
It's like beg for your life.
Yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger advocate for the women in professional wrestling than me. I did not like this match.
Oh, really? Fair enough.
Because Bianca can be the heater. Bianca could take the punishment. She could work from under. Like, it could have been Piper and Chelsea getting all of their stuff in. And then the hot tag comes in, and then Jade cleans house. We didn't get that. We got an immediate, Jade's, like you said, the Terminator. And it was like, how does this help? Obviously, this helps Chelsea because it gives her more things to talk about. And for Chelsea, it's all about character. Piper is there with Chelsea. I think Piper will be lost unless they're going to give us the Piper Nevin from the Mae Young Classic. That's the only way to make us successful.
Please.
And Bianca, how does this help Bianca? Like, okay, so I got my person out there. It kind of screams two dudes with attitude.
I do agree with you. You're right. And I wish there was a little more here. Mm-hmm. This didn't feel like it was cut for time. This didn't feel like there was meddling or anything like that to me. I did want more from it because I like all four of them for sure. You're right. I'm just, I'm wondering how long this Terminator act goes with Jade.
Yeah.
And how long Bianca's in sort of the wake of that, just sort of, I'm going to spare time until you got the tag and you crush someone.
Well, we know we're leading to them versus the Kabuki Warriors. And I mean, the other three women she's going to be in the ring with are phenomenal talents.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, this is going to be interesting. But if anybody can get her there, it's Asuka and Bianca.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Two really good women to work with.
I'd like to see it before SummerSlam. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Backlash is in France. We have, so that's May. June is Clash at the Castle.
One of these countries is going to get Jade Cargill working hard. I just don't know which.
In a full body.
Make us wait till SummerSlam.
That's going to be insane. She's going to be ripping out of that thing.
Mikey, you can cut this, but I gotta go.
Okay.
So, good seeing you again, Luis. We gotta do this again.
Yes, sir.
I'm happy you're here with us.
I'll see you next Sunday.
Oh man, we're almost at the end too.
I know. I'll text you my empanadas. But I love this Kevin Owens promo. Mm-hmm. Just put it out there.
Yep.
The one you're about to talk about.
So well, while the professor exits, let's talk about this Kevin Owens promo. Oh my goodness. So Kevin Owens is backstage, right? And he ends up taking the microphone from Byron, and we have one of those cool walking shot promos that been doing. Kevin Owens pushing the fourth wall, but not necessarily breaking it. I'd love to see it. And he basically talks about how he likes Ray, and, you know, he likes AJ. Like, him and AJ have known each other forever. He likes Ray. Both of them have sons that are way too tall for, or like taller than both of them, which You know, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. KO's son is tall. Tall.
Yeah.
That kid is crazy. Anyways, I also love that he takes the Tigers championship and then he knocks down the CM Punk shirt just because it could.
Well, he knocks down the CM Punk shirt because years ago CM Punk took a dig at him on the indies saying that KO, he's lazy and that he needs to perform in a t-shirt.
Which was funny to watch in that context. But he says, but both Ray and AJ stand his way, so he's going to beat their butt. Mm-hmm. So then he gets he takes the championship. He's like, Jamie, here's my mic. Bruce hit my music and then walks out for everyone. Which then leads us into our main event, the second triple threat match, KO, AJ, Rey Mysterio. Macho, this was my favorite match of the evening, 100%. Especially because we talked about it and alluded to it earlier. The finishing sequence was the funnest thing I have seen on SmackDown in the last couple of months.
Loved it.
That is a testament to AJ and everybody, like, being the consummate professional that he is. That was such a sick transition.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of complaining about how KO stunned Rey on the apron. I wanted to say this. I said this recently on a video. We're in this era where we need to get used to finishers not mattering until the end of a match. People are going to hit their finish. If you watched Seth versus Drew, they hit the curb stomp and the claymore at least three times each and they kicked out of it until we had the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels moment. And then the claymore mattered. Like, that was the one with effort. So I feel like people are just nitpicking because WWE is so hot right now. To me, I thought Rey gave it enough time. He was stunned, quote unquote. He came back. He stopped AJ from hitting his AJ's old school finish, which it looked like that's where he was going. And we had the Avalanche Styles clash and a transition into a sunset flip roll up. Just beautiful. This match was next to perfect. I mean, AJ hasn't done a Pele kick in a while. We got one of those. I was very happy with this match. Loved it. Thought this was the match of the week at coming out of WrestleMania. These three are awesome.
I mean, you're not wrong. And we'll talk off camera because I was severely disappointed with a lot of things this week. But we'll talk afterwards. But this was a fun main event. AJ Styles does pick up the victory by rolling up Rey from that transitional finisher move. It was fantastic. And we end SmackDown with LA Knight coming down to the ring. I was like, all right, part two. Let's go next week. This is going to be fun. I'm excited about it. And I think you're right. I think if we are following the same trajectory, I see AJ Styles walking out winner. And him going to France to face Cody at Backlash.
I have in my notes here, this match was pro wrestling, absolutely. But this was very indie-rific. Very indie-rific. I wanted to point out a sequence here. AJ goes for his moonsault DDT. Owens moves, goes, hits the super kick, goes for a pop-up powerbomb, and then it's reversed again into a Pele kick. That, to me, is like, that's some shit we would see in TNA. That's something we would see in Ring of Honor. Like, you can tell clearly that AJ and Owens, I was going to say Steen, sorry, that they've worked each other so much. And I really thought they were like, hey, man, we're competing to be like future world champ. Let's just go out there and just be old school. Let's just give them some Ring of Honor. And that's what we got. And man, this match had so many layers, just beautifully done. Even the finish felt very like NWA TNA. Like, I feel like AJ's done that to like Christopher Daniels or Michael Shane. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt so clean. What a brilliant match. Brilliant match. This match itself just led me right into like 4.5 empanadas out of 5. Or, you know, I guess,
you know,
9.5 out of 10. Yeah.
I'd love to see it. And you know what? We're going there. So I give this a solid 8.5 out of 10 for me as well. This was a really fun SmackDown. I have to say, I enjoyed bits and pieces of the Raw after Mania, but this first episode of SmackDown after Mania probably was the funnest outside of TNA wrestling this week. That it reminded me, I was like, this is why I like professional wrestling, and this is fun, which is what people seem to forget. This is what it's supposed to be, but you know. Oh my goodness. I am looking forward to next week's match between LA and AJ, as well as the Fatal 4-Way we're getting to see who's going to fight A-Town Down Under for the tag titles, which is going to be great. And then we get a championship match on television. I'm like, oh my gosh, remember when we defended titles on television? Oh my goodness, I can't wait for this. But me and Macho are going to get up on out of here. So thank you for tuning into another Friday Night Faction Review. Hopefully next week, all four of us will be in the ring together. This is going to be a running gag, and I'd love, and I cannot wait to continue it. It's going to be fantastic.
Listen, I'm just like, you know,
he's your emotional support, buddy.
He is. He's sad. I'm worried for him. You know, I got you, Roman. I'm just telling you, I got you. I'll run up wherever, yo. I got that Boricua in me, come from Tawaha, I don't care. That Jersey City, whatever you need. You just let me know. You need somebody to come out and take out the, you know, the bloodline. I got you. I got you. You just let me know. I'm there.
Gosh.
Yep.
I love it. And on that lovely note, from all of us here at Friday Night Faction and the rest of the BC WrestlePop boys, take care of yourself, love one another, be Biconic, and you deserve to finish your story. We'll catch you next week. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.